And we're live? Hey, we're live.
I feel good.
Who are you?
I'm Todd First.
Todd First is joining
me here. I wasn't here a second ago.
Well, welcome to Midday Cafe. I'm your host, Mike Giannotti. I have sitting in my co-pilot seat today, Mr.
Todd First.
Todd First, another fellow architect. We also, just so you know, we're very excited about the show format. I'll go through that in just a second today. But we have a guest producer, his first time. Do you want to unmute yourself and say hello?
Hello, everyone. Rich Ross, first time producer.
So Rich is in here because our Steven event coordinator is home ill. He is not feeling well.
Yeah.
So we wish Steven all the best. Hope he feels better. But Rich has graciously, and Rich is another architect here because we've got all kinds of architects. So all kinds of questions. If you have them, you can shoot them up. Before I get started with last thing before we start with the overall format of the show today, underneath the video that you're watching right now, you, underneath it, you see this? Take a look. There is a moderated Q&A panel. We love to hear from you. And give us shout outs, give us questions, comments.
And the whole panel of moderators are at the phones.
The panel, they're, at the phones. And what, you look like you want to say something.
Welcome to Raymond. He's got a note saying it's his first MTC pod or video cast.
So Raymond says it's his first. Raymond, welcome. We're just excited to be here today. So today, on today's show, we have a couple of things.
Who are the big hitters, too?
Big hitters.
Start with what
we're going to start off with Microsoft Tech News in just a second. We got three stories in 3 minutes. Bam!
I like that.
We're going to follow that with some devices, which is why this gentleman is with us today. You have some goodies you're going to show?
We have four new devices.
Whoa, don't give away the whole kit and caboodle.
Maybe more, maybe less.
Maybe more, maybe less. We got that. And then at 12:15 Eastern Standard Time, and look at the birthdays are popping up. Let me dismiss those. Wow, they're just all showing up over my shoulder here.
Hopefully you have birthday presents for all
people. The birthday presents are in the mail, folks. At 12:15, we have some special guests, including... Senior Program Manager for Microsoft Power Apps, Laura Onu, is going to talk to us about Power Apps.
Woo!
And what is happening, the next gen of Microsoft Forms. Booyah! So I'm just saying, great session today. So, without further ado, we have some tech news. If you're hungry, if anybody's hungry, if you missed it.
And it's lunchtime.
I just got to throw this out. Yeah. So earlier we had our Facebook pre-show show on the MTC Studios Facebook page. We were streaming live on the Facebook page, and we had a lunch vote, what Mikey should eat for lunch. Mm-hmm. And s'mores, Pop-Tart s'mores, won over the Kashi sea salt. Thank you for helping
me. Do you have Pop-Tops?
I have them right here now.
Where are they?
I'd like to. In my belly. My belly. All right.
I didn't know you had them.
I did. So they're at my desk if you ever care for more. I have a whole box. So we're going to start off with today's tech news. And let me minimize Laura there. We have three stories. So the first of which is for the education sector, announcing new experiences for teachers and students in Office 365 education. Rich, you want to go full screen with the view here for this? So a couple of things. So we had an announcement the other day around new experiences and updates to Office 365 for education that are coming in the summer, some of which are already live. But there are some great pieces there. There's also a video, but to kind of hit the highlights, number one, managing all your classes in one Microsoft Classroom. Right. Now, this is going to get lit up for education, folks. I have a note into our product teams because I can already see this being of interest in the enterprise space for training and trainers. So if anybody's thinking the same thing as me, you're not alone. But now we have a one-stop shop where you can manage all your OneNote class notebooks for managing classes, the students that are involved in those, the interactions, materials, etc. Rocking. I've been playing with it myself. That's actually out there right now. Also, save time and organize and collaborate with the OneNote class notebook. They have some more around some enhancements around that, things they've enhanced on the client side as well for interactions. And also another new piece, quick surveys and quizzes with Microsoft Forms. This is not to be confused, because we like to confuse you out there. No, we don't like to confuse, but not to be confused with Enterprise Forms, which we're going to be taking a look at with Power Apps. But for quick quizzes and surveys that teachers need to do, or people who might be teaching community classes, et cetera, within an organization, Microsoft Forms has been officially announced. And then classroom automation with school data sync. So if you have a school, that's right, where you have a student information system, or a SIS. Yeah. Not, you know, I have two SISs.
Yeah.
But that's not the SIS they're talking about here. Do you have a SIS?
Yes, I do.
You have a SIS.
Yeah,
do you have
only
a,
one.
Do you have one of these SISs?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That would, well, that would, I guess that answers the question. So, student information system, or SIS,
okay,
we can actually sync the user profiles and class rosters into Office 365 Education through Azure Active Directory. Bam! So that's been announced. And finally, last part is enhancements around education and staff collaboration with PLC, not TLC, PLC, mm-hmm, Professional Learning Community Groups, which is Microsoft Groups for Office 365. Again, enterprise folks, take note. We'll that's actually part of a briefing that we have here, our two-day workshop. And staff notebooks. So some great stuff for educators. But moving on, and we'll have a link to that after the break, so stay tuned. Next up, OneDrive for Business has been recognized by Forrester as one of the EFSS leaders and continues momentum with our spring update. So there's a whole great post on this about the recognition, a great video covering things such as the next-gen sync client, all kinds of new features that have been enhanced here, managed bandwidth, browser experience enhancements, sharing with people.
Can I say something?
No. Yes, go ahead.
The previous next-gen sync client, which is probably only a month old, required some registry settings and all this other stuff. They got rid of all that. They've really simplified it. They're just continually updating this thing at a super rapid pace. So if you read last month's blog post, that's old news.
That's old.
It's really news. They're really moving fast here, and like you said, they're in the magic quadrant. You don't have to resync your data. Everything customers are asking for.
There are some who have likened our efforts here to Star Trek and warp speed.
Okay. I didn't know where.
Captain, I can't control it. She's breaking up. Can't hold it together.
The Fribble episode. I didn't know.
You got to be nimble on your feet here.
That's all I know.
All right, so there are a whole slew of things. We'll have a link to this. You can read that after the break. Last but not least, one of my favorite programs that I'm playing more and more with, Microsoft Sway, where we can all sway into the music. No one else in the whole wide world.
Whoa, turn that
just
volume
you,
down.
Just you, Microsoft. There we go. All right, so Sway, they have new enhancements around adding video, not just through Embed, but also natively to YouTube and others in there. And in fact, we've also increased our language support with 14 new languages, including Afrikaans, Albanian, Amharic, Azerbaijani, Belarusian, English for UK, for those English speakers who are actually English, Filipino, Hassa, Icelandic, Kannada, Kiswahili, oh my goodness, Macedonian, Uzbek, and Vietnamese. For a full language set, you can tune
Very
in.
Very impressive.
So that's that. Why don't you come on back to us here? Oh, he says we're already there. He's all over it. You mean, so they were looking at me while I while I butchered those words. So we have about 6-7 minutes.
That's
so
perfect.
In 7 minutes, you have four devices. I'm going to, just so we can, and they'll be able to, you can just keep it up here. So what do you got for us today, Todd?
So we have a range of devices here. And what's really nice is we've always had great OEMs, and they've really brought just a whole new kind of range of devices, but also types of devices at different price points. And we're going to start with HP, as you can see. Look
up
at
here.
This baby. Okay. Of course, what can you do? You can do the thing.
Whoa.
You can do the click.
The thing.
You can do it all, okay?
You can do it all. That this looks very Surface-like
this
to me.
This is the Spectre X2. I didn't see the James Bond movie, so I don't know if there's a tie-in here.
I think there is. I'm feeling it. Bond. Wait a minute.
It's beautiful Bond. Device. Look at that.
James Bond.
Look at, you could hang wash on it.
Whoa, I can dry my clothes.
It's awesome.
That's for a college student, that could be, I'm just saying, hanging the clothes.
The cool thing about it's very, very surface-like. The thing that's really nice about it is the price. So it comes with the keyboard. Surface keyboard is not free. Comes with a pen, which is very nice, right? So you're talking a little almost $300 lower than Surface Pro 4, okay, which could be a nice addition to your life. It also has, which is really cool, it has LTE from Verizon built in. So if you're on Verizon, you're set and you're ready to go.
And one second, I see Rich is looking concerned back
Rich
there.
Rich looks like the
Is there something going on, Rich?
The water's boiling over.
Just a comment that everything looks a little blurry.
It is, okay. Because we're going to camera over the IP. Actually, you're back to us again.
Yeah,
so just when we're showing the device, and then I'll minimize this.
I'll unblur it.
All right.
So great. So lots more with this. Also has Windows Hello camera.
Windows Hello.
So you can just sign yourself in with that.
Is it me you're looking for?
HP Spectre X2.
I can butcher a song with my rotten voice. X2.
Lionel Richie may use this.
Lionel Richie may, unconfirmed.
He hasn't called in.
He may have.
But
all right, so we got another device here.
So Toshiba. Always love Toshiba.
Toshiba.
What does Toshiba do that no one else does? You want to know?
Yes.
14 hours of battery life on this baby.
Whoa!
Okay? So this is also a hybrid device. I can take the screen off. There's a nice battery up here, and there's more battery down here. And if you're one of those people that likes to have a lot of ports, Rich might fall into this. I don't know. I've seen him with some stuff. We have the VGA that will always be around.
You know, there is a number of ports I've been wanting to see, like Manila and others.
Yeah?
Would that relate to this?
I'm going to look for a Manila port here.
Manila.
Three USB, three ports. Two of them are full size, which is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
What else? We got a real Ethernet port. So again, it's like a built-in dock is really what I feel like it's like.
Built-in what?
It's like a built-in dock.
Oh, dock. I thought you said bock. I was
like,
waiting
what
for the
did
music
you say?
To cue.
And
all right.
Of course, I want to go do this. How do you put it back together? Call in later.
We'll call in later. Awesome. Why don't we come on back here again?
All right. Last two in 3 minutes.
Yes.
Let's start with Dell, because Dell is always bringing the good stuff.
Dell is bringing it.
What does this look like? Another Surface-like device? Absolutely. What's unique about this device? That I don't know if any device from our OEMs does this at this size. It's a 4K screen. So look out. So get your 4K Netflix going and just eat popcorn with this baby. It's just rocks.
Does it come with popcorn?
If you ask your Dell rep, I'm sure they
throw
some popcorn in.
You ask them. That's unconfirmed as well, just to be clear.
So this
rumor has it that you will get extra butter movie edition popcorn.
This is the Latitude 7275 also.
Latitude 7275.
And the way you just dock, the dock is so interesting. You just slide it in. It's the easiest thing you ever saw. Look at that.
That is sweet.
So very, very nice.
Very
nice.
Comes
with the keyboard. Great job. And then we're
going to finally
HP Pro Tablet 608 G1. I got the shirt. What's nice about this, it's a little bigger. From you see it,
wait a minute.
You gotta hold that. You're a hand model.
That's a little bit bigger than my Dell Venue.
Yeah,
but I'm a hand model.
Yeah, check it out. So
that's sad.
This is an enterprise mini tablet.
Hello.
It's got a really high res screen. No. It has 120 gig drive, which is much 120 gig drive, Mike.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah, this is
built
real.
In.
You could do real work with this.
This is the real deal. So this is a full blown PC. On a big phone format.
Yeah, I make it a phone. I'm buying it. It's got TPM 2.0, 4 gigs of RAM, great battery life.
TPM, that's nice.
Yeah,
so enterprise
it's got the latest
ready.
TPM though.
So this thing is really, and I see it has a connector here.
Yeah, for a dock.
For a dock, so you can actually have it be almost like a mini laptop,
or just go to the Love Boat.
So that's the Love Boat.
So this is an enterprise ready, smaller tablet form factor, which
Sweet.
Is awesome. So there you go. So
four devices.
Go to a Microsoft store, go wherever they sell devices. They Best Buy.
Bing your local store.
Anywhere you want to go.
Well, we encourage you though,
Thanks
go to
lot.
The Microsoft store. They'll give you all kinds of great hands-on, great tips, and support.
Yeah.
which is rocking. So check out your local Microsoft store. If you don't know where it is, you can do the honors. What can they do? We can bing it, baby. So thank you.
All good. Thanks, Mike.
Those were good. I'm feeling a little inspired.
All right. We'll see you at the
device. So watch bar. This now. He's going to do a whole, whoa, Todd, where'd he go? How'd he learn that?
It's on the track.
It's all on the track. So we want to thank Todd, and I think it's time now for us to dial in our special guest. So let's go ahead.
Hi there.
Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
Hi, real good. Hello from Redmond.
So everybody, I want to welcome our special guest for today, Laura Anu. And Laura is coming to us. She is a senior program manager for what?
Power Apps.
Boo! Power Apps.
Power.
Feel the power. Whenever I hear that, I want to go, I feel the power.
That's right.
Get excited. So Laura, so a lot of folks have been very interested in this, and I know you have a lot to show. So what can we expect today to see from you and Power Apps?
You're going to see a very quick introduction of what is Power Apps all about, and then we'll jump very shortly into a longer demo where we'll show how somebody that might have a SharePoint list already in their company could create very quickly an app and further on customize it to the very extent of using logic flows and custom APIs.
Awesome. So this is going to be pretty complex. I mean, you know, a lot of folks have asked in the past, like, you got rid of InfoPath, what do we do? And this is a great avenue for folks looking to do rich forms and connectivity with SharePoint as well as other.
There's a lot of capabilities we're bringing on. We tightly integrate to devices and consume all their native sensors, camera, microphone, compass, accelerometer. Wow. You'll see some of that demo.
Awesome. All right. So why don't we go ahead and get started, just so folks know, for those of you who are watching today, and actually I'm going to maximize this screen where Laura's going to be sharing her desktop. As she's going through, she's got some slides to kind of tee things up. So be watching that. And if you have questions, we would ask that you ask your questions about the slides during that point, but during the demo, because I mean, this is there's so much that we're going to be unpacking there. We'll ask you during the demo to hold your questions. And then after the demo, if we have any free time left, you can ask some more, right? Does that sound good?
Sounds good to us, yeah.
All right, so Laura's going to share.
Yeah,
all righty. We'll look for that here.
Okay,
and can everybody? It looks like it's loading up. There we go. So beautiful.
All right.
And then, Laura, if you want on your end the video piece, if you want to halt the video and just have the audio, that'll probably help with that as we go.
Sounds good. Okay, done. Can everybody hear me well?
We got you. Yep.
Perfect. Before we start, also wanted to introduce Pratap I have over here. I am a program manager on the feature development side, mostly focused on app creation and authoring. And Pratap is part of the customer engagement program and community.
Hi, everybody. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Okay, let's start with a very quick introduction I was mentioning. Quickly walk through the agenda. So I'm going to briefly explain what is Power Apps and what are its main components. We got a lot of questions around what are all the components. And briefly introduce logic flows just as a integration point with Power Apps. And the demo is going to be about making an app starting from your data, as mentioned. And part of it is to, of course, share and showcase how we would be using it on a phone. And with that, let's briefly pitch what is Power Apps. It's a service that helps businesses rapidly deliver cross-platform business apps. And how do we do that? We allow talent across the organization to build apps that integrate with a large variety of services. For example, they could be on-premises data, they could be custom developed systems that one might develop custom APIs to connect to them, or they might just be SaaS apps such as SharePoint, Office 365. And further on, the apps that you'll be developing can work everywhere you do, on your Windows devices, on your phones and tablets. So let's briefly review how that is actually happening. We have the portal piece, the powerapps.com. That's where you would be signing up with us or joining our whitelisting program, as we are in public preview right now. Also from here, you can manage your apps and connections. And there's a link in there that would let you create a logic flow. Then we have the Windows client piece that would let you create the apps that you would be targeting for phone or for tablet or for various form factors. You could even target specific form factors like Surface Pro and so forth. And last but not the least, there's the iOS client that you would be downloading, of course, from the iTunes Store. And that's where you would run the mobile apps for your iPads, iPhones, and so forth. And with that, let's briefly explain how Power Apps integrate with logic flows and what are logic flows. These are a quick way for a business to automate their processes, to do task scheduling, to do conditional statements for sending and broadcasting data. They can further on trigger a approval process that is very, very popular. And the integration point with Power Apps is, of course, once the app itself is not running anymore, these kind of logic flows can go beyond its life cycle and carry on tasks such as an approval workflow. Without further introduction, let's go and see it in action. We can take a quick pause here if there's any questions or specific things that we want to showcase in the demo.
Yeah, we don't see any questions yet, Laura, so go right ahead.
Sounds good. So let me give you a closer look into what the demo is going to look like. We are an enterprise that has various assets and a very large campus. And something we did as a hardware administrator is that we created a SharePoint asset list. And in here, we track various information about the assets, such as is it in service, what was the acquisition price. And further down the line, we felt like we need to have a dedicated list of repair shops. And that's where we're going to further add one more data source into our demo. And we'll quickly showcase what it takes to customize the app, but further on extended to the point where we use custom APIs and logic flows, as mentioned. And at the end, we'll showcase consumption. So let me minimize this and start the demo. So some of you may be familiar with the welcome page. We ask you how you want to start. We're going to start from data today. And I'm going to quickly show you also the SharePoint list that I'm going to connect to. Most of the time, you wouldn't be having in your most recent list, so you'd have to perhaps select it from the new site. And here's the asset list that I was talking about. I also have it loaded here on my SharePoint. It's pretty complex, has a lot of information. Let's go ahead and connect, and let's take a good look at all the types of things that we have in here. We have something like a product code that's coming from the manufacturer. We have something called the shop contact, so that's just for various types of hardware. We work with various shops, and all the acquisition information about it. The app is still building, but here it comes. Before we actually jump into explaining what the app is all about, let's get a little bit familiar with the authoring environment. Just like most of the Office products, on the left side is a selector of what is the app made of. Our app is made of screens or pages, how some other people call them. On the upper, we have the very familiar ribbon. It is contextual. As I select items, it reacts to them. And also it adds a contextual tab in here that has only the specific actions of the particular item. But then there's common actions, such as what data should it get or what are the click triggers that I want to make. And those would show for anything that I select. On the right side, notice how the quick tools already kicked in. That's like a little workflow for me to customize the app. Usually, I want to first choose how my layout should best look like. App from Data did a good choice, but perhaps I want something more custom. And further on, I'll be, of course, customizing the specific bindings of data from the list. So let's go ahead and do that for the first screen. The first screen is nothing but the SharePoint list that you've just seen, displaying item by item. And because this is a mobile application, we picked up a smaller set of fields that we would be displaying. And it's really up to you to choose which ones you actually want to display. For instance, let's imagine we want to have more of a visual way to find the items. And then now that we've done so, let's go ahead and change the item bindings. So here would be the asset picture, because that's the picture that I'm seeing. And maybe underneath, something I want to show is perhaps who this is assigned to. And let's keep the type in place. Next step would be to perhaps change the colorization to something closer to my organization. And with that, I'm getting ready to have a little cheat sheet with my logo. I'll place it out here quickly. Feel the app is more ready for my org. Place it nice in here. Okay. And another thing I want to mention about the app creation environment, the app creation tool, is that the canvas is a what you see and is what you get canvas. The app runs live as you build it. There's no step of compiling and whatnot. Everything is declarative. That implies it's side effect free. So the things that I'm changing are affecting the exact item I changed, and it's not going to break other things. And I really like the fact that I can run it live straight away in the canvas. And as we go screen by screen, we can go again through the same workflow and customize it. For example, it looks like the picture is the one that needs most treatment. So let's go ahead and say we want to view a picture. This screen is all it's doing here is displaying all the fields that we've seen previously, not just a couple of them, the most relevant one, but pretty much all of them. And something I can do here is, of course, just delete fields I'm not interested in, get the space back. And once I've configured that, I'm ready to also move further on and see how the editing experience looks like. That's where I would be pretty much changing the assets, like say this one should go in service. Why not? And something that I think it would be good to also change is maybe you want to add one more field in here. Actually, I already have it. It's the acquisition discount. I think we want to see this one as a nice slider, because it goes from 1 to 100, so it's a little bit more mobile friendly, more touch friendly. Okay, so now that I modified these two, let's go ahead and save. And we should see the changes triggering right away in the assets table over here. I'll go ahead and refresh it. Right. Let's see what the item was. It was something assigned to Ronnie. So let's see. Oh, here. And look how it got sent to being in service right now. Okay. So these were, this was the first section of the demo where we've showcased quick customizations. As part of that, I feel I'm ready and confident to save this. Before saving, I really like to give it a nice icon and icon color so I can identify it. So let's quickly choose some icon. Let's say that's the admin. And I can, of course, rename it. Let's call it asset. Okay. And with that, I'm ready to save it to Power Apps. And the most value of saving to Power Apps so early, even if perhaps I'll reiterate, is that I'll be able to see it right away as I develop it on my iPhone. And as part of that, I would be able to perhaps test features that test a couple of features that only the iPhone would have. All right, it's I'm loading the app as we speak.
We'll have to change the desktops. I will present briefly, Pratap here, where we are using my phone for my screen for sharing the iPhone.
We're still seeing Laura, so she has to stop presenting, and then you're going to need to start.
I just started. Let me know.
Okay. It looks like it's loading up. There we go. I see your iPhone.
Yep. Laura, go ahead.
So in order for me to see the app, I would be opening the Power Apps client. And
takes a few seconds.
And here I'm seeing my app right on top.
Just pause for a few seconds. It takes a while for the Wi-Fi to pick up. It's still showing the home screen there.
Okay. So what I did was I launched the client, and on top of, right on top, I've seen the new app that I've just created, and I tapped the download button, and notice how the app itself automatically is trying to establish the SharePoint Online connection. It would be for the user of this particular a phone, and not necessarily the app creator, of course. And now the app would be loading. We have a little bit of lag because of the server. But here it is. And I was mentioning, be able to test everything that I've been doing so far. And as I save my app, the changes get pushed live into the phone. So I could have this nice side-by-side experience as I'm developing it.
Just hold on for a second. It hasn't rendered yet.
Yeah, we're not seeing it here quite yet.
Yeah, it's a little slow to, you know, stream over Wi-Fi. Here it comes.
There we go. Yeah. Awesome.
We can scroll it. We can see each of the changes we've done and so forth. All right. So with that, let me go back to the second section of the demo.
You have to start sharing again.
Right.
I'll stop sharing here.
Yes.
Phone, and then all this other stuff can just come in.
Oh, you're showing me. Yeah, so real quickly, so if you're not aware, if you have iPhone, iPad, all you're going to do is download the iPhone, go to the store and look for Power Apps. You can grab it, and then they'll show it, your apps will show as tiles in your Power Apps when they're shared to you. Okay, why don't we go on back full screen?
Alright. So now let's imagine that my business has evolved, and I've learned that there's new repairman shops available in my area, and I might develop different preferences for different types of hardware. So first of all, let's go ahead and see how initially the repair shop would have looked like. So let's see, there's text in here. It's the email address. And let's imagine that it just so happens I'm not sure what action to take with a particular hardware. And so I developed the need to be able to contact them on the spot. So let's go ahead and insert a button, and let's put on this button something called like email support, right? And since I'm all about giving a nice template, let's go ahead and create a nice template where one would send an email. Something I'll do here is go and pick up an empty layout, of course. Let's give it a name. Let's call that email support. And then further on, let's go ahead and create a nice way for people to get back from here. We add this icon. We fill it nicely with white. And as an action, of course, we tell it that we want to navigate right back to the detail screen. So I just select it from here, point and click, and I have it done. I can also quickly test it. Let's now wire the email support button right to our email send email screen that it's called screen one. That's the automating name. We can rename things at any point in time. Here on the home screen, we can see the name and also rename them as we go. Okay, now let's go ahead and create the little text input for this experience. We want this to be, of course, multi-line. There we go. And notice how in the content, there's like a default text. That's not the text I want. It would be something like, hi, I would need help with the following item. And something that is really unique on Power Apps is that you have access to all the screen's information at any point in time, and there's no preparation for that. So let's go ahead and do that. Notice how the first screen has the list that's called Browse Gallery. So this, what I'm going to do is actually wire back in what was the item selected and try and display the information in here. There's many places I could fetch this information. I just think this one would be the most consistent. And let's say I want the product ID, product code. All right. And then let's say our business administrator would type in their question. Now let's see who I want to send this email to. I don't think I need a text input. What I need is more of a text box. Okay. And as I was mentioning, we've learned that that we would rather have the business administrator decide who should be the best to contact. So let's go ahead and create an experience where they could actually choose the workshop they want to work with. And this little box here to tell them that it's not quite editable, we'll just change the border to something dotted. There we go. And of course, we want them to pick this workshop from a list that needs to be added to the app. So let's go ahead and do that. Under the data sources, there's this experience where I could be further adding new data sources. They could be sitting anywhere. Any of these connections would be just fine for me to use. And I was showing the repair shop, so let's go ahead and add it.
And so this is coming from SharePoint again?
This particular one, I've stored it on this very same SharePoint list. Site, but it could have been anywhere. It doesn't have to be here. And in enterprise, many times it so happens that it's spread out somewhere else. That makes no difference. What we're really caring about this list is the rating of each of the repair shops, but of course the phone number as well. So let's go ahead and see how we could
Alt tab.
Well, looks like we're gonna have to reload the app.
It's live in its beta.
Well, luckily we did save it. So let's go ahead and say edit. I'm going to show to you how to wire up the screens, but I'm probably not going to redo them entirely. Hopefully that's going to help us fit in time. I'll come back to this as we have time. So we were showing here how to connect to this SharePoint list that what it cares about is items and repair shop and their ratings. So let's go ahead and do that. I'll show you actually a different way of connecting to the SharePoint list. I can do it contextually right from this gallery that right now has some sample data. So I'll go ahead and say again that I want to insert it. Choose my SharePoint connection. Okay. And I was saying is the repair shop, insert it. And let's set the items again to the repair shop. We had a little, a hiccup in here. And again, let's customize it. Let's say which items, for instance, perhaps the first one should naturally be the shop name. The next one should perhaps be the phone number. Let's see it in here. And the last one should be the rating. Okay, so that is called shop rating. Now let's give a nice contrast to the fill. This theme is not helping much. Okay, and let's see how one then further could, let's perhaps save. That helps.
And while that's saving, those who have been posting questions, we are gonna be asking them, but we're gonna wait till the conclusion of the demo. But we do have your questions, so we have a couple of them waiting for later.
So let's learn how one could quickly filter this list. Again, let's change the field to something nice. The list today is showing all the items in the repair shop, but what we want to do is filter. So let's go ahead and just call filter, just like in Excel. Notice how the formula bar and many of the expressions that you would see, the functions are exactly like in Excel. And the intent is here to quickly change your data as needed. So it wants the data source, which is repair shop, and then what should be the test. And I was saying that we want the repair shop contact email field, okay? The rating is called shop rating, so we want the shop rating. All right, so we want this to be greater or equal to whatever our admin is going to input into the rating control, okay? And and let's see it at work. Let's say I just want the 5-star ones. And here it goes filtered. Perfect. Now let's go back to our page and say and see how somebody that has chosen this one would get back to the page. I'm not gonna rebuild the page again that we were doing with the email template. I'm gonna do something quicker. Perhaps in here, just add the button as before. And and try to read off of the selected item from the gallery. So we would send email directly. Let's say in V2, we'll be able to customize the message. Okay, so contact support. Okay. How are we gonna send email? Well, we have an Office 365 connector to take advantage of, and we would be adding it just like we've learned to add one more data source. This is treated equally. Go under my connections, and from in here, there's a lot of connections that we have available. I'm gonna go ahead and choose the Office 365 Outlook. And since we are in this UX here, I'm gonna go ahead and add also users, because I know I'll need it sometime later. Okay. And now let's try and see how sending an email would look like. I'll just try and type send email, and I already got three options. This one looks the most appealing. Like I said, we won't customize the message much. We'll just say need help. And then let's say here, issue regards product. And then we can concatenate and read off of the item. Here it's brought in as browse record one. We can, as I was mentioning earlier, there's many ways that you can fetch the data from the screens. That's another one that you can do. Yeah. Let's get the name. And further on, we want to know who to send that email to. And I was mentioning that what we want to do is read the email address from the previous screen. So that was the gallery. And
Laura?
Yes.
We just, if you could re-say that over, we had a little bit of audio glitch right there.
Okay. So I was typing the options required for the send email expression.
Okay.
I was mentioning that for knowing who to send, since we don't want anymore to the default value, rather have the user pick something. I'm just reading whatever was selected from the gallery. Now the experience to select that would be a separate screen, as I was showing.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back and add it as we have time.
Laura, you have three parameters. How do you know which parameter is what here?
Yeah, so I was glancing, good question. I was glancing over, notice how there's a little bit of a helper IntelliSense, and it says, give me first the subject, give me then the body, and last but not least, give me the two.
Okay.
That's how I would know in which order to put them. It's a pretty simplistic approach, much like in Excel's functions.
So do you want to hard code your email instead so we know that the message
is that's a pretty good idea. So let's go ahead and do that. Yeah, we wouldn't want to do anything else. Okay, perfect. So that's pretty much it. That's how we send an email with the Office 365 connector. And it's going to try and connect right now. So live canvas, we don't have to rerun the app anywhere. We just test it right on the spot. And let's move on with the demo since we don't have that much time left.
Sure. Okay.
Let's imagine that now I am pretty happy with the fact that I can contact them, but I also have the need to order more items. So let's go ahead and insert another button that we will just call it order more. Order more of these, right? And let's give them a way for the business admin, for the hardware admin to input the quantity. I've seen dropdowns can be popular. They kind of not taking too much space. Notice how the items are set to a sample data, and it's something like 1, 2, 3. The way, if you ever need to have like a static list, this is how it would look like. Very simple, very fast, very easy. There's no need to now connect to something else just to get a list of numbers. So on. And now that we have the quantity, and I want to order more, I was mentioning this is a large campus. So that implies that I need to know the address of where I am. Now, of course, the business admin could type it in, but perhaps that's not the fastest thing, particularly on a mobile device. So let's think creatively. They have a phone. The phone has sensors. I'm going to showcase a little bit of how that works. So let's go ahead and insert the text input and see if we can find where the phone is right now. We have an API that lets us do that. It's called Naturally Location. And we can get the latitude, and that's perhaps concatenated. The longitude, its location. One ampersand and location. Longitude, and we see them right there. Perfect. So we know we have that information. If only I would have those APIs that would let me from these to get the actual address and help our business admin further on, so they wouldn't have to type a full address. That can be achieved, for example, in our demo with the custom API. So let's go ahead and add it. It's again from the data sources, and I'm going to insert data. And there's a custom API that I have that my IT department has prepped for me. What I have to do is just add it to my app right here. Okay. And now we're gonna quickly call it. So instead of having the default text be just the latitude and longitude, let me put that in clipboard. And let's see how we can call the custom API to get the address populated. So
geolocation.
The connection is called geolocation. And as soon as I typed it, it suggested to me the API to use. And notice how the two things that it wants from me is the latitude and longitude. That works perfectly because I just had them in my clipboard. We paste them in. Okay. And with that, we're just gonna wait for it to resolve. And it will, it's gonna run in parallel. In the meantime, we can move on. And in here, think of how we would be able to trigger an order process that most of the time, and here it goes, yes, that's the right place.
Yeah, we're logging in from building 44 right now.
Let's go ahead and see how I could trigger an order process. That should go, of course, beyond the life cycle of my application because it requires my manager's approval, perhaps. So that's how we're gonna introduce the logic flows. As I was mentioning, there's a little link in the portal where one could create one of these. So let's go ahead and create a new one. The entry point for a power up would be something like an action from a button. So as suggested here, let's choose that. When a control is selected, what is it that I want? I wanna trigger approval email. I think it's an Office 365.
Send approval email
right here. And then two, since this is a process, it wouldn't know who to send it to unless PowerApps is telling it. So let's go ahead and click on that, say asking PowerApps. And then what should happen after the approval gets done? Well, we want to add the actual order happening. And again, let's imagine this is a custom API because it goes into my ERP backend. I could call that custom API just the way I call geolocation from PowerApps, but my need is here to go beyond the lifecycle of the app. Let's imagine this is called something like place order. Very simple. Let's go ahead and call it. It wants three things. The thing that I'm ordering. So let's say asking power ups, how many of these? That would be my dropdown. And of course, where should it be delivered? Okay, and once we have it, let's just give it a nice name, such as approve more items. Okay, say done. And let's see how we wire this up in Power Apps. Okay. Again, we would go naturally under actions and see that there's this pointer to logic flows. This is how we integrate with logic flows. And here it comes, approve more items right here. Let's choose it. And look how it already completed its signature right here in the formula bar. And let's put in order each of the items that are needed. So send approval email to, like I was mentioning earlier, I've added my Office 365 users. And if I just type something like manager here, that's how I would get the manager. But the manager of whom? It wouldn't be me, obviously, it would be the person running the app. So there's a function for that called user. We can call it right away and get the email out of it. And further on, now that we got who is the person running the app, we want the email of their manager. And that is called mail in this API. Perfect. And then the item code, of course, we can get it from various contexts. Let's stick with the gallery, for example. So it would be the first gallery that appears in the app. And then we want to get the selected item, and off of that, we want the
product code.
Okay. And then the quantity, I was mentioning it's in this dropdown, right? So the admin would type in it in
there. How do you get those items' names showing up? You do something magical to show that up.
Not that magical. I'm just pressing the Alt key. And
so when you press the Alt key, you get all those showing up.
Yeah, cool. It's quite nice and neat. And if I actually tap on those little black boxes, I can easily select things right off at the point there would be overlap. So it's very handy. And again, I want whatever the admin has selected, and off of that, the specific value that he got to. And the delivery address, well, that's easy. That's the one that I have just built off, and it's the text input one. Okay, let's make sure we get a text out of it.
Yeah, Laura, before you submit, if you submit now, your manager will get an email. So you want to hard code that as well to you so that we know
that's true. Good point. I was just about to get him some interesting email. So let's go ahead then and, again, put my email address. Okay, perfect. And save the app. And I think I'm ready to share it with you. There's another little thing I want to demo further on, but it's perhaps for the end. If audience is interested, we can show how one could also trigger a phone call. From a Power App. So let's go ahead and share. Actually, sharing I can also doing from this little button up here, and say let's share with my colleague Pratap. Did I misspell your name? Here we go. And I can choose if I want him to just edit or view. And if he can view, he'll be able to even share it further. So let's share it out, and I think with that we've successfully went through all the parts of the demo except for the little thing.
Yeah. While I show up my screen, do you want to summarize what all did you show today? I think you showed a lot of things.
Yes, it was pretty packed demo. So so let's see.
And then after that, we had four questions.
Perfect. We've shown how to connect to data that could have been cloud, on-premise. We showcased SharePoint today. We've showcased how IT department could have built some custom APIs for us to give us functionality beyond just data. We've showcased how there's already Microsoft custom APIs exposed, such as the Office 365 users in Outlook. That gives me access to all those information, like the organization, the structure of my organization. I can get managers. My calendar was in there as well. I can have templates for sending emails. Further on, we've showcased how we can create logic flows so that my my app can take advantage and trigger workflows that go beyond its own life cycle. And last but not the least, we're showcasing how we can share it with the team, and everybody then can further consume those. And it goes cross-platform. I did not show you how the app would look on Windows, but that's fairly quickly. We can do it right away. The client, as we see it, is capable of just running the apps. If you don't have, for instance, permission to also edit them, then it would just naturally just play them.
Cool. You want to show me to show the app running on my machine now?
Yeah. So let's say give.
No, I'll just present my desktop.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the same app. Laura just shared it with me. It shows her logo on the top, and I can go to any page.
Yeah, refresh it a little bit.
And even contact support.
Do our extra approval of email.
Yeah, I think this is, I don't know, it still shows the old, coordinates, but that's fine. It's hard-coded to you let me just order more. It should send you an email for approval. Hopefully you should see that email and approve it for me.
Right. Yeah. I'll go ahead
to you again.
Email.
Yeah.
So before we move into the Q&A section, I wanted to quickly bring to you a couple of points of. Let me restart sharing again.
Okay.
Here we go.
And I see it's starting to load up.
All right.
Loading, there we go. Okay, you want to go back?
So we need your help. First, try Power Apps, refer to our tutorials, explore Channel 9 to get access to a very rich set of tutorials and demos. And please do engage with us. We are prioritizing all the new features based on the user voice, the networks, and the feedback that we're getting. And please do send in product feedback. This is very important for us. It's just a little smiley button in here, and you would be able to engage with us right away. And
awesome.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And I do know we have some questions. You want to, Laura, do you want to start your video back again?
Skype video. What's on Skype video?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that.
And do you want to put her on back here? And then we'll queue up in just one second the questions.
Okay, I've just started my video.
There we go. All right, we see you. Hello.
All right.
All right, so Rich, you had six questions now, you said?
Yes.
So question number one is what?
So question number one goes back to right around the time we started doing the demo, and it asks, you mentioned the Windows client and the iOS client. Is there an Android client on the way as well?
So the question is there an Android client as well?
Yes, certainly. Android client is on the way. We should be able to, if people on this community want an early preview of those bits, we can even share it privately with you guys through the Yammer network. In a few weeks' time, we should see it live on the Android store as well. Yeah, it's very close to completion. And, we can share it early on for your feedback if you want to try it out.
So for those who are asking about that for Android, just to kind of clarify, if you are not a member, you should join. We'll provide a link on the archive of this video when we post it up, but we'll have a link to the Yammer network, the Office 365 Yammer network, and we'll provide a link directly to the Power Apps group, and what they said, what I was saying was that if you want, you'll be able to request within that group and get early access to the Android bits. It's almost ready for release, but if you want to start looking at it early. And certainly that's a great place just to communicate with the team. Next question.
Yeah, please do not blog about that yet. You know, if you have feedback for the Android bits, share it with us on the Yammer network. Don't publicly announce anything about it yet, because this is privately for you.
So this is just for the Yammer folks and those watching today. So an exclusive for all of you. So next up.
Next up. Is there a limit on the number of Power Apps a user can create or use?
I don't know if you heard that, Laura, but is there a limit?
We're looking forward to find that limit.
No, we do not have a limit.
We don't know what that would be.
It is limitless.
Go ahead and try it. Yeah, we challenge you.
And there you go. Next.
So next, this may get a little technical, but actually one of the users out there, Roy, had said that he tried working on this a month ago and was having a question on uploading phone captured photos to a SharePoint online library.
So that's a little different. So wait a minute. I guess my confusion is if he's trying to use the app to up. Well, the question, Laura, I'll just throw it out to you guys, is the person was trying to upload photos from their phone to a SharePoint library, but I don't know, they didn't stipulate whether they were trying to use the app for that or another mechanism.
I think since SharePoint is really popular with storing documents and pictures and so forth, the goal was indeed to use the app itself to upload. And we've showcased this in some of the templates, particularly with Excel on Dropbox, Excel on Gmail, Google, and all. And this is a fair feature request. We should just queue up on user voice, vote for it, and
yeah. So there are two aspects to it. One, ability to select pictures from your phone.
Yep.
That is available today. Yeah. Okay. The second ability, where you can store it on SharePoint document library, requires the connector to support that, which we are working on. It is not available right now.
So
you can upload it to Excel on or Dropbox or OneDrive today, but not on SharePoint yet.
So that's in process.
Yes.
All right, and people, if they want to sound off, can always go to user voice. Make your voices heard. All right, next question.
Next question, is there a way to apply custom branding to the app?
Custom branding to the app.
We would need a little bit more information of what is the limitation that we've encountered. We can theme the app. You can customize the themes. You can place logos with copy paste as we've demoed. There's a bunch of fonts you can take advantage of.
Yeah. So all the things you would need, you know, if you want to add your logo to the start screen or the splash screen, you can do that. You can change pretty much everything on the layout, all the colors, all the images showing up there. What you cannot customize it is the way Power Apps loads in the beginning and where we show Power Apps, because their app loads within the Power Apps client.
Right.
That part cannot be customized. But yeah, rest of it, everything you can customize and apply your personal branding to it.
So the short answer is yes, you can absolutely. We give you themes, you can customize those, you can add your logos, but the experience of starting up, it's not gonna look like an app. Otherwise, folks would have to publish each individual app to the individual stores for iOS store, for the Android store, the Windows store. Here, you just publish it, you just share it through Power Apps, and bam, you're live. So it's even better.
Yeah, you can manage all those apps in the portal, as I was showing, as an admin of those and as an owner of those.
Awesome.
So these are business apps.
We had another question?
We do. We have a couple more. So does the app run on the permissions of the current user, like when querying data sources or running logic flows?
Oh.
And is there a way to circumvent that, say, for elevated permissions?
So in the first part of the second part of the demo, I was showcasing how I was even accessing the user function to get the actual user themselves, and how I was inputting those in the Office 365 API, for instance. So that would indeed be a way to have that particular user. Also, when I open the app itself, it asked me about SharePoint and said yes. And so at that point, it was the authenticated user running the app that was using those permissions. There's definitely types of data sources like SQL, which of course it would need a SQL user and password, which is not tied particularly to a person.
Yeah, but the general concept is you have connections which are separate from your app, and every time you run an app on any new device or any new user who runs that app after it's been shared with him, they have to provide their own credentials to connect to those connections or those data sources. So yeah, everybody runs the connections or connects to the data sources using their own credentials, and there is no way to circumnavigate that. You know, that's kind of the security boundary that Power Apps believes in, and so we, you know, unless if you can circumnavigate it, you break the trust, and that's what we don't want to do. So you know, we cannot circumnavigate that aspect of the program. So you have to use your own credentials to connect to the data sources.
Makes sense. And do we have any more?
One more.
Is
there any information on reading writing to the SharePoint server in an on-premise environment as opposed to SharePoint online?
So today, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but there is no connection today to SharePoint on-premise.
Yes, I've demoed SharePoint online. That's the one we...
Yeah. So right now, yes, we are working on a mechanism for enabling that, but you know, we do not have that yet. That is something on our roadmap that is a most requested feature as well. Particularly SharePoint online on-premise as well as SQL Server on-premise are the two major connections we are trying to enable on-premise. Hold on, and you know, you will hear from us as soon as we have a solution for that.
So hold on to your hats, folks. More's coming. Soon, fast, and furious. And that's all the questions, correct? Well, you guys, I want to thank you. This was awesome. You had a number of links that you shared at the end. Is it possible that you could send me those slides or those couple of them that had the links at least, and I can put those in the archive for folks?
Absolutely. Sounds good. We're glad to do that and looking forward to all the feedback on user voice
forums. So we will definitely then, we're going to put links to user voice for this as well as to the Office 365 group. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our wonderful folks from Power Apps for sharing, because this is exciting stuff. And with that, we're going to call it a day. And I want to thank everybody. Be looking for the archive and check us out next Monday on Midday Cafe. With that, this is Mike Giannotti with Rich Ross, our Power Apps guests, as well as earlier Todd First, bidding you have a great day. Take care, and as always, ciao.
Thank you. Ciao.